Thank you, Brother Tolbert. Appreciate that. A while ago when he asked us to sing with him, I felt like a mosquito trying to go by a 747, you know. Well, that's great, and he sings to the glory of God in those songs, and I appreciate that. Take your Bibles now. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. And we'll look at two verses today, verses 10 and 11. There's a big little word in our English vocabulary, and that's the word if. If I had done a certain thing, something else would have happened. If we would believe, we would be saved and go to heaven. We have a lot of ifs in life. If certain things are done, then we'll reap the rewards of those things. But what if Christ had not been born? What if Christ had not been born? Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm glad the gospel's for everybody. All people, all over the world. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Get that right. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In the city of David, Christ was born. What if he hadn't been born? What a grave, dismal, depressing thought as you stand by the grave of a loved one. If Christ had not been born, there would be no hope there at the graveside. There'd be no hope at the funeral, but thank God Christ was born. What a wonderful truth today that we should never get used to it. That is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born and came to this earth. He was accompanied by angels that told everyone about his birth when Jesus Christ was born as they proclaimed it unto us today through the Word of God. I like Christmas. I look forward to Christmas every year. I know it's sort of a hectic time, and my wife and I have been to a lot of parties. By the way, we've stayed sober and in our right mind. Amen? Well, at least sober. But at any rate, we enjoy going to them. We had a great party last night with our class. A lot of humor and some foolishness, and we just had a good time. And I like Christmas. I like to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I like all the things that go with Christmas, the tree and the ornaments, the decoration, the packages, the ribbons, all the things that go along with it, like getting with your family, and yes, eating, all of the different things that we do as we celebrate. We are festive about the whole thing, and we've got to remember what it's about. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate it. We enjoy it. Don't be a Scrooge. Don't be an old sourpuss that gripes about it. I mean, you don't have to spend all your money. Just do what you can and do what God leads you to do, but enjoy the celebration of Christmas. I used to decorate our house from top to bottom. Now I'm scared I'll fall off the ladder, so I just hang up some wreaths. But I have a manger scene out in front of my house. And I finally found one and put it out there. I like for that to be out there because I like for people to know that's the real reason for Christmas, that we're celebrating that. And it may not be exactly what the Bible would have, but the idea has gotten across to people that drive by that Christmas is not just about getting and giving and all of that, but Christmas is about the birth of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what if Christ were not born? What if he had not been born? Then the promise of God about the coming Savior, all of the promises about the coming Savior back then would have been broken. I'm glad for the prophets, and I'm glad for what the prophets told us. That's one reason I believe this book over any other so-called holy book. This book has no errors in it. All other holy books have errors in them and were written by man and not controlled by Almighty God. talked to someone yesterday of another faith, another religion, and his book denies who Jesus is and explains it away. But this is the book. It's God's holy word. And God's word tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet said he was going to be born. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What's that? Behold. Look for it. Watch it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. Not just a woman, not just a young girl in some translations, but no. A virgin, a miracle birth. A virgin shall conceive. And I preached recently on the virgin birth. If we don't believe in the virgin birth, friend, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. If Jesus was not virgin born, we don't have a Savior. But the prophets talked about Jesus, and they talked about a lot of other things that are going to happen to him, but they talked about a virgin having a baby, and that baby was of the Holy Spirit of God. And if that was not fulfilled in the baby, Jesus Christ, then all of our hopes fall down to the ground. And we have no hope today if Jesus were not born. Absolutely no hope. It all falls and fails. And we're nothing more than an animal and a beast without any hope for the future. That's all we are. But thank God Jesus came. Haggai said in 2:7, he would be the desire of all nations, referring to Jesus Christ. And I said it earlier, I'm glad the gospel is for everybody. Doesn't matter your ethnic background, thank God the gospel is for everybody all over the planet Earth. If they'll come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that has given faith in the future. They had it in the Old Testament. They looked forward to the Messiah coming. Most of them. About all the Jews did. Some of them had it right. They had faith in the right thing. And I believe they were justified the same way we are in the Old Testament. And these prophecies about Jesus were fulfilled. And so many at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened exactly like it was supposed to happen. Brother Volante preached to the preachers here the other day, and he pointed out some things about the shepherds and being temple shepherds, and they knew exactly where to go because of an Old Testament prophecy about a certain location. No, it was no accident. Jesus Christ was born, and he fulfilled the prophecies exactly like the Old Testament prophet said he would. And if he hadn't come and hadn't been born in Bethlehem, not just any Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrata, if he hadn't been born exactly in the place and the way that God said, we would have no Savior if Jesus hadn't been born. If he hadn't been born, we never would have known really the real character of God. Who is God? Where is God? What is God like? What's his personality? How does God think? What would he do? We find out by watching the life of Jesus Christ. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he fulfills what was the Old Testament shadow. Shadow after shadow after shadow. The lamb in the Old Testament. The Passover lamb. So many different ones in the Old Testament referring to the coming Messiah, to the coming Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, Jesus was born, and then Jesus began to fulfill all of the types with the reality, not just a shadow anymore. John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now listen to what he said. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Philip, how do you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, Jesus, God in the flesh, you have seen the Father. And the only perfect revelation we have of God is Jesus Christ in the life of Christ for his birth and some 33 plus years on the face of the earth. And we follow the life of Christ, and we follow him from his birth. We know Jesus existed before that. We know he was with the Father in the beginning. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Genesis, God said, let us make man. And he's talking about a plurality, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus came as a baby, lived his life, and then was crucified. And I think it can be summed up in one four-letter word. And that's the word L-O-V-E. Love. Love is what made him leave heaven. Love is what made him be willing to take a human body. Love is what made him do what he did. Love is what made him go to the cross. It's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we want to know the character of God, we are convinced that God is patient, long-suffering, filled with mercy and grace. And my friend, I'll tell you today, he'd like to save your soul if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved. That's what God's like. God's not trying to send people to hell. God has sent his Son to keep you from dying and going to hell. And thank God he sent him to this earth. Love, compassion. And then if Christ had not been born, if he had not been born in Bethlehem, the world would still be waiting for a Savior. The world would be still waiting for a Savior. There are two major religions right now that I can think of that are waiting for the Messiah to come. They missed him the first time. I talked to one of them again yesterday out on visitation, and he said a lot of things that were good about Jesus, but far as he's concerned, he was a prophet. And in their holy book, it says that Jesus never said he was God, which is a lie. Jesus did say he was God. And history proves that he was God. He arose. No other religious leader has done that. And he was saying about what his religion believed, that Jesus was a prophet. But Jesus was more than a prophet. And I said to him, well, do you respect the prophet? He said, oh, yes, we respect him. And we're looking for his coming. I said, well, how could you respect somebody that lied? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, he said that he was God in the flesh. And you either believe that he is or you don't believe that he is. My friend, he said, well, my book says that Jesus finally told the leaders of our group that he never said that he was God. Oh, he did say he was God. And everybody knew he said he was God. And they knew that's why they wanted to crucify him. That's why the Jews, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees wanted him nailed to the cross, because they were claiming he was guilty of blasphemy because he was saying, I am God. I am God in the flesh. There's another religion that's waiting on him. They missed him the first time. In fact, they were very much part of his being crucified. But let me tell you, they're going to see him someday. It's going to be too late. They are going to bow down to the Messiah. They are going to bow down to the Son of God. They are going to have to admit that he was the one that they missed. But it'll be too late for them. Now is when we must trust Christ as our Savior. Believe Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died in your place on the cross, and that's why he came to this earth. What a miracle, what a marvelous, true story about God coming to earth because he loved us. If he was not born, then we're waiting in vain today. See, I'm waiting for some good things to happen. I'm waiting for the rapture. How about you? And even if I die before the rapture takes place, I'm waiting to go and be in the presence of the Lord. Either way, I'm winning. Amen. And you are too. If you're saved, we're going to go and be in the very presence of the Lord. But if Jesus was not born, then my waiting is foolishness. It's totally in vain. It means nothing. I've been deceived if I'm waiting if Jesus was never born. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a sad deal to have no hope and to be without God in the world. I'm filled with hope today. A sure hope, not an iffy hope, but a sure hope. I know one of these days I'm going to see Jesus in heaven. I know one of these days I'm going to see my mother and daddy and loved ones that were saved that went on to be with the Lord. I know that I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ and come back and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. I know that I'm going to have a place in the New Jerusalem. Amen? That's my blessed hope because it's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is not in this world. My goodness. There's no value to this world compared to the hope we have in Jesus Christ. It's like a grain of sand compared to the biggest diamond you could think of. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is in Christ. The Bible says in Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" You can gain the whole world and lose your soul, and you still have lost. That's not apt to happen, but the comparison is strong. Whatever else in your life that you would hold on to that would keep you from getting saved and serving God as a Christian, my friend, it's foolishness compared to being saved and knowing the Lord and giving your life to Him. Hope is good news. I'm glad we have good news to tell people. We told some people yesterday, good news. Some of them didn't take to it too well. Some of them don't like it, but our job is to give the good news. We have the good news. Good news, Jesus died for you. Good news, you don't have to die and go to hell. Good news, you can put all your guilt under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that good news or what? Good news. You don't even have to go through catechism. Just get saved, bless God. Just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good news. It's like a lost person being in a cold winter blizzard in the mountains being lost, and all of a sudden they see the light of a little cottage somewhere, and they head to it and rush to it for protection and warmth. That's the good news we have about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I will have hope in my dying hour. You see, I picked up a periodical from it was the Baptist Bible Tribune the other day. I flipped over to, as I was reading through some articles, I came to one and it had those that had died. I looked at that and I knew all four of them and had been friends with all four of them, and all of a sudden I began to feel sort of weak and chilly. I knew all four of them. And I was just reminded as I thought of each one of those people that I knew very well that had recently passed on and went to be with the Lord, I was reminded of this. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to die if Christ doesn't come in our lifetime. You're going to die, friend. You say, well, I'm going to put it off till I'm 90. Are you sure about that? Are you real sure about that? That's sort of my plan, but I don't know if that's God's plan. I don't know when I'm going to die, and I promise you, you don't know either. None of us do. But we do know this, if Christ doesn't come, it is appointed unto man once to die. And then we're going to face Almighty God. But I'm glad we can have hope in our dying hour. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things," Paul said to Timothy. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." To have no hope is inexpressible. How do you properly express no hope? What a sad thing to try to say that somebody has no hope. I read about a submerged submarine. This happened a number of years ago. It was off the coast of Provincetown, Massachusetts. And this submarine somehow was in a crash with another boat, ship or something, and it was going down. It was down, and there were 40 men inside it. True story, 40 different men. They sent out an SOS, and some Navy people came, and the Admiral was in charge of all of it, And the only communication they finally had with them was just a tapping, the code, just a tapping. And they kept listening to the tapping, and this was the question they were asking: how long will it be now? And they tapped it out. How long will it be now? Until the tapping began to get less and less. And finally, it seemed that there was only one man tapping. And he tapped, "How long will it be now?" And then there was no more tapping. No hope. What a sad way. Doomed men. The last man, the signal ceased, and there was no hope. And I'm telling you, if Christ had not been born, we'd be in the same predicament. We could tap and do everything we wanted to, but there'd be no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ, if Christ had not been born. 1 Corinthians 15:18-19, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are just perished." If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. My hope goes past this life, past this earth, all the way into eternity. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank God he was born. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." That's why we give gifts, because he gave the first gift like that. The unspeakable gift. How are you going to explain the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God? It's an unspeakable gift. We try, but we don't really know how to explain it. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that's what he said in our text verses. "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David," what? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's who was born that day. Jesus Christ, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There was a conference sometime in the eons past in heaven, and God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit decided that there was one way to redeem mankind, knowing what man was going to do. There was only one way, and that was for Jesus to come to this earth. Can you imagine what it must have been like around the throne? Can you imagine how the angels may have felt as they thought about, my, Jesus is going to leave the right hand of the Father. He's going to leave the palace. He's going to leave heaven. He's going to leave the streets of gold. He's going to leave perfect communion with his Father. He's going to do all of that. He's going to leave heaven, God the Son, and leave it and come down to this earth. The infinite became the infant. Infant holy, infant lowly. He became the one that came to this earth to die for us. Thank God for it. One purpose, Matthew 1:21. "She shall bring forth her son." We're reminded again, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." That implies the Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Hey, friend, you're a sinner. Did you know that? Talked to a guy the other day and pounded on his chest, and he said, "I'm my Savior, and I'm going to get myself in heaven." Talked to a number of them yesterday who said, you say, "Are you going to heaven?" "Oh, yes." They smile, and they're so friendly. And then you say, "Well, if you stood before God, what?" He said, "Why should I let you come into my heaven, Mary? What would you tell him?" "I'd tell him I'm a good person. Or I'd tell him I'm doing the best I can." They smile like that's supposed to be a wonderful revelation. And then you have to say, "But the Bible says, could I show you something from the Word of God you might find interesting?" A lot of times they say no. They'll tell you their denomination or whatever. But friend, Jesus came. You've got to be born again. You must be born again. Elisha Hoffman sang And these are the words of the song, "What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord." Would you agree to that today? Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Is this wonderful Savior your Savior today? Do you know he's your Savior? Do you know when you die you're going to heaven? You're just hoping, guessing, trying to get there, working your way to heaven and all of that? No, friend. Jesus is the wonderful Savior. He's the only one. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, not a martyr, not a good example, not a leader of a moral cause, not somebody just to make right injustice, but a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the only one. No other religion, no other Redeemer, no other Savior." Thank God Christ was born. Amen. Let's stand, please. We'll have our invitation in just a moment. We'll have workers that are in front ready to show you how to be saved. If you're not saved, friend, step out. Receive Christ as your Savior. Some of you today, being reminded of what God has done for you and being reminded of the gift he gave you of eternal life, you know that you need to make some things right in your life. You need to get back in fellowship with God and do those things that are so important. And then maybe God's leading some of you to follow the Lord in believers' baptism or to join our church. If he does, we want you to come. Father, the invitation is yours. But, oh God, I pray today that somebody would come and understand why baby Jesus came to this earth, that he loved them and died for them on the cross, that they might be saved. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you come? Just meet me down front if you want to be saved. One of these workers. Christian, do you need to do some praying today? The Lord knows your heart. You may need to come and make some things right with God. Would you do it?